The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
On Tuesday, July 1st, after a flurry of day one activity of free agency, Sharks general manager Mike Grier met with the media. This is what he had to say.
Hey, Mike, obviously still lots of time, still 3 o'clock here, but what are your overall feelings with what you got done with a couple of signings and obviously the Nedeljkovic trade? How do you feel you guys came out in your plan that you wanted to execute today?
Yeah, we feel good about things. It was, this was probably never going to be a year where we were going to be, too involved, I guess, with the guys, the bigger end, higher end guys that were going to get a lot of term and things like that. So, we were happy, getting Ned and Ned was big for us. Someone who can push Askey and is a proven winner in this league. He's a really solid guy, and Warzo spent some time with him. So a competitive guy, so to have competition in the net was important for us. So we're happy to get him in. Klinberg was, someone we had targeted for a little while now. We need someone who can run a power play. And, we think, as he showed, he was getting healthier and healthier this year, and another year out from his hip, I think he'll be even better. So we're excited to get him and his puck moving and his power play ability, someone who can get the puck up to our forwards. And then up front, Kurashev, someone we've liked for a while. We like the versatility of being able to play center and wing and be able to move him all around the top nine. I think he's shown in the past he's been able to play with good players and be a productive NHL player. So we're happy to get him. And Adam was, kind of fills a little bit of a need for us, a right shot center wing as well, gives us flexibility with the lineup there. And he's pretty good on faceoffs, and he's really good around the net, as you guys can see with the, 19 goals he had this year and 44, I think, last year in the AHL. So, I think he's got a chance to help us in both special teams and in the faceoff circle. And another guy, like I said, those him and Phil both can give us some lineup flexibility with able to play center and wing.
Obviously it took a while for that first move to free agency to come out. Obviously you guys re-signed Ekki, but just was there a couple things that you maybe wanted to get done that you weren't able to maybe push across the line, or player maybe just chose to go somewhere else?
Yeah, I think that's always kind of the case in free agency. There's 31 other teams have plans and are trying to get players. And we had had our hands in one or two other things that didn't work out. But, that's the way it goes on July 1st.
And then last one for now, I might have some more later. But just obviously you guys signed Ekki and get that 3 years done. And to get it done early, what was the thought process behind maybe getting to the number to 3 years and the number you guys did and the priority in getting it done now?
Well, I think both sides were happy with the 3 years, and we'll continue to watch Ekki grow and develop and kind of see where he falls in with the rest of our group as we continue to build this thing. But, we're really, really excited to have him signed up, and he's kind of the first guy who's been here since I started and that we've extended to kind of start building this thing with. So really happy with him. We're excited to have him for 4 more years at the very least. So I think we both sides were comfortable with the term and where the money ended up, and just to kind of see where his development path goes and where his game goes.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. I might have more later.
We'll go to Steven.
Hey, Mike, obviously we talked a lot about the cap going up, but how did the market sort of get shaped by so many teams kind of re-signing their guys and the movement the last few days and taking a lot of sort of the top end talent out of the market?
Yeah, I think teams kind of, I don't know if just it's okay to say they, or right to say they went out of their way to resign their own guys, but I think there was so much uncertainty with everyone having a little bit more money, what the market might show, that I think teams thought of, instead of maybe having to overspend on someone you don't know, it might be, better to, just lock up the player you know, and you know what they are and the person they are, and you're probably more comfortable with that. So I just think probably a little bit of the uncertainty with the cap going up and everyone having money to spend, I think teams were just a little bit more comfortable probably with their own players.
Thank you.
Shane.
Hey, Mike. Just wondering, was there a thought to go longer term with William, or was it always sort of around this range?
I mean, we talked all options, longer term to, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. We kind of went through the gambit, and it was good working with his agent Todd. It was I think he was good to work with, and I think both sides we just kind of ended up on 3 and thought that was kind of a good number to kind of watch and see where Ecky's game goes.
And your UFA signings, all of them were 1 or 2 years. Was that a particular concentration of yours to not commit too much to any UFAs, or that just how things kind of fell this year?
Probably a little both. I think I've been pretty consistent with you guys of saying I don't want to hand out long-term contracts necessarily right now, that this might not be the time to do that. Of course, there will be a time where we got to lock up some guys and give them a little bit term, but I don't think we're quite there yet. So these are players we like, and players that we also think there's upside in all 3 of them to produce well for us, and hopefully they're good people too. So hopefully, it might turn into something that's a little bit longer term than just the 1 year.
And hone in specifically on a few of these guys. With Njoković, was this a guy that was always maybe sort of a primary target, or did the goaltending market kind of dictate that? Because a couple guys went yesterday, and it just was kind of a not a lot of goalies available in general.
No, not someone we liked. And like I said earlier, I think Warsaw's spent some time with him. Spearsy and Nabby and Millsy watched a lot of video on him as we went through the goalie group. And, for us, it was important really to have someone who can push Askey and, also competes and has a strong work ethic. So, it's going to be someone that Askey can learn from, but also compete with and push him. So, Ned fit a lot of those traits, and another thing Ned does well is play the puck. And as you guys know, Askey likes to come out and play the puck, and I think that's something that Ned can help Askey with, and Askey can learn from.
And what about Njoković's personality? We talked, I think, maybe a couple months ago about kind of finding the right fit in terms of personality with Askarov. And you'd ask people about Njoković around the league, you just hear good things about him in that sense. And so what about his personality makes him a good kind of complimentary guy with your big prospect there?
Yeah, just I think, like you said, he's a good person, good teammate, and he's competitive. So those were the things, and he has a high work ethic. And talking to him, I think he's someone who enjoys a challenge and doesn't want things to come easy to him. So I think these are all traits I think that are important, not only in life but to be a professional athlete. And so I think Askey will be able to learn a lot from him.
And Kurashev, a couple of years ago, he had a pretty strong season with Chicago. This past season, maybe not the season he was looking for. Just kind of what did you see, I guess, over the last 2 years, and last season in particular, when maybe he struggled a little bit?
Well, I think last if I started last season, I think last season he, this is just me from the outside looking at it. Chicago brought in some new guys, some vets, and I think he kind of got pushed down the lineup a little bit, and never really got his feet up underneath him. Probably lost, not on the line and playing with the guys he was playing with the year before, and sometimes as a player, when things don't start off well, it's kind of you kind of feel like you're going uphill for the whole season. And from the outside, that's kind of what it looked like to us. But the year before, and we saw a really complete 200-foot player who can make plays, play with good players, is responsible defensively as well. So, we thought it was worth a shot to, bring him in here, see if we can kind of get his game going, back in the right direction. And, he's like he's shown before, he can play with good players. So, he'll have the opportunity to kind of right the ship a little bit.
And with Klingberg, Klingberg's a really well-known, a former kind of Norris contender kind of guy. Obviously, he's had his injuries. With him, as you watched him more and more with the Oilers this year with the playoffs, did you just kind of see him getting better and better? And you see maybe that upside that maybe he can approach, maybe not be the guy that he was, but maybe be not that far from it, though.
Yeah, that's the hope. And as like you kind of nailed it, as we watch the playoffs, and not only are myself and the guys here in the office, but we assigned scouts to playoff series to watch. And the reports came back very well. And when you watch him on TV, you can see him, he was moving better and better. And the playmaking has always been there. And I think it's even if you look at Patrick Kane, his first year back from that similar surgery, he did okay. Then this past year, he was even better and had a really solid year. So we think that the potential is there with another summer of rehab and strengthening and conditioning, and not have to baby it and really get after the training, that he's got a chance to get back to close to what he was before. And in Edmonton, they have such a good power play, and he didn't really get much power play time there. And here we'll get the opportunity to do that. And I think it'll be really good for our group.
And a last one for me for now. Just in general, are you looking to add anything specific, a type of player, anything like that?
No, I think we're still open. Day one is always a little bit hectic and crazy, but we'll kind of see how things shake out after tonight. Things will settle down and teams will kind of regroup and see what's out there. And the free agents will do the same. So we'll definitely just we're just going to kind of keep our eye open and see if there's anyone out there that makes sense for us to add, and whether that's in free agency or through trade.
Curtis.
Mike, I wanted to just ask you a little bit about, I guess you just answered this, but do you kind of consider the most of the heavy lifting done on your end, I guess?
I think for the most part, but just like we talked about earlier, like so much stuff happened yesterday, and then you kind of piggyback up that with that today. We'll see what kind of comes up, if there's any opportunities that come up. And we'll look again through our list and go over who's left out there, and we'll see if there's a fit. And if not today, there's still training camp's still a few months away, so there's still plenty of time for us to keep kind of building this thing.
What kind of challenges did you face in maybe trying to attract free agents? Obviously, the team is, was where it was in the standings last couple of years. I mean, is that much of a challenge? Is it to try to convince guys to come to San Jose when, maybe the timeline to win isn't necessarily starting next year?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's just part of where we are, that there's going to be some free agents that are going to prioritize trying to win as soon as they can. And that's just the reality of our situation. So each athlete and each person and each family has different ways they look at free agency and how they want to go about it. And that's their right. Once you get to free agency, that's the goal, and you can pick and attack it whichever way you would like. So, there are some players that kind of felt like, I think the consensus with agents and players that they all like the direction we're going and where we're headed. But some guys just are trying to win, and I get it. You're only in this league for so long. So, as you get up into your late 20s and 30s, for some people, winning immediately becomes a priority, and I understand that.
There's a lot of speculation about Mikael Granlund and potentially on, coming back to San Jose. Can I kind of ask if there's maybe some interest on your end, and maybe with the contract he signed? I believe it was 3 years at $7 million per. Was that maybe just a little bit more than maybe the Sharks were willing to do?
Yeah, we talked a little bit, not too much. We talked before the trade a little bit, and I had a kind of an idea of what the ballpark would be then. And we circled back a little bit, today and stuff like that. But it was, we're happy for Granny. We really liked him here. He was great for our group. We just kind of felt like it just didn't match up right now.
Right. You mentioned the attributes of obviously the players that are new here. How will this team be better in next season? And I guess there's some, what's the message maybe to the fan base who are maybe concerned that maybe next season is going to be kind of a repeat of the last couple of years? I mean, what's maybe the message to your fans at this point?
Well, I think we'll be a better, we'll be a better team. And I think a lot of that will come through some internal growth with our group. I think whether that's Ecky and Macklin and Will and Shakir, kind of guys like that, some internal growth of those guys and Graffer, keep taking little steps forward in their games, and then hopefully in the net we'll have a solid tandem in there and have some more consistency. Another year in Warsaw's system should help as well. Having Klingberg back there, someone who can break pucks out, get the pucks up to our forwards, all that should help. I think it's, we're going to take a step forward. I know there's times where we want to speed this thing up, but I just think I think naturally we'll take a step forward, and hopefully going through some of the things we went through last year with, losing games in the third period or losing one goal games and things like that. Just going through those experiences on their own, hopefully those will help our group next year and help us grow a little bit. So hopefully that's where we're at. And then, just 'cause this is just one day in the very beginning of the off season. So, I'll continue to look to try and make our group better if I can.
You guys made the decision to move on from Nikolai Kovalenko. Can you go into maybe why that decision was made? Maybe this wasn't a fit, maybe long term here.
Yeah, no, that was exactly it. I wish him the best. Sometimes players don't work out in at certain situations, and when that's the case, I think it's just kind of best to move on. He's a kid who's got some talent, and hopefully he finds a spot where he can play and develop a little bit more. But for us here, it just wasn't a fit, and we thought it was best for our group to just move on.
His comments at the end of the year, where he talked about having, wanting more ice time and that kind of thing. And I mean, I don't know how you felt about that, but that maybe rubbed me the wrong way when some of those comments came out.
Well, I think we need to have kind of everyone pulling on the rope the same way. And I've been clear, and I think Warsaw's been clear that, we're not going to hand you anything, that you got to earn your ice time. And if he felt that way, then it's his right to feel that way, and he decided to handle it that way. And but no, it didn't. I wouldn't say it rubbed me the wrong way. That's how he felt. But overall, it was just, the fit with our group, it just wasn't the right fit.
And I meant to ask you about Mark Edward, a few nights ago there. But as you said, I mean, it was a tough decision to move on from him. But was that mainly just to try to maybe create a roster opening there, or how did you see that one?
Yeah, that was kind of the main driving force behind it. was definitely a tough decision, and for me, it's for the organization and for myself. I was here when he first started, and to see him grow and become, a top shutdown defender, and then to get to work with him now on the other side of it, it was definitely a tough decision, but just something we felt like we had to do with our some of our young guys coming up to possibly create a roster spot for those guys.
Do you want to, like you mentioned that, there are some roster spots available as it looks like as it stands right now. Do you look at this development camp and some of the younger guys you have, you want to give those guys an avenue to try to make this team, I guess.
Yeah, I don't ever want to really try and block young players, but in the same time, they're gonna have to earn it. They're gonna have to come in camp, be prepared, be in shape, be mentally sharp and engaged, and show us that they can play in the NHL and that they belong in the NHL. So we'll give these guys every opportunity to see if they can do it, and then we'll kind of sort the rest out from there.
All right, thank you, Mike.
We can take final round of questions. We'll go Max, Shang, and finish with JD.
Mike, I know you touched on it a couple nights ago about Jumbo being here. Obviously, he was on the ice development camp today. Were you able to get pen to paper or?
That's a good question. Never know with Jumbo. I'll have to check. I don't know if it's quite officially done quite yet. He's a tough man to pin down, he's all over the place.
It's about the most jumbo answer you could have given me. Then getting back to things, obviously, you mentioned there maybe some of the heavy lifting is done. I mean, there is, the cap floor, give or take 9 million or so, depending on, how the roster is set up. I mean, how do you expect or plan to, I guess, fill that, whether through trades, looking at just kind of adding some more pieces? Obviously, there's still more time and plenty more free agents out there, but that's something that obviously, needs to get to. How do you plan on kind of maybe attacking that to get to where you need to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's, season's a long ways away, so I think we'll just kind of keep chipping away at it and trying to add to our group, and I think at the end of the day, I think we'll end up being okay.
We kind of alluded to it with the lot of, I guess, signings and re-uppings from last night. How do you feel like that trade market? Obviously, you make the deal for Nedeljkovic. I mean, does it feel like there's maybe not easier time to maybe acquire what you need or want to get through trade? Or do you feel like it's just kind of a 50-50 balance after, just kind of seeing what's available and going at it, looking more so at everything rather than maybe keying on a free agent?
Yeah, I think it's probably 50-50. I think even the prices on some trades are pretty have been pretty high, and even so, like people who have the commodities, when they look out in the market and maybe not see that there's a lot of options, and if you have something that someone wants, then the price is going to be high. So it's all it kind of goes both ways, I guess.
And then I think this will be it for me, but you chose to qualify Thomas Bortolo and then not qualify Georgi Romanov. Obviously, Bortolo's been here a while, and he talked to us at the end of the Barracuda season about, a little bit frustrated not getting an opportunity in the NHL. Obviously, the injury hurt him there at the end, and he understood that. What was the thinking behind, qualifying him, keeping him around, and then also with the other side of that, maybe letting Georgi Romanov go? Obviously, Matt Davis is here, but the thinking behind that.
Yeah, Borges is, he's a good hockey player, and we just figured we'd want to we're going to continue to kind of go down the path and see where it leads us. Understand his frustration and everything. We just thought it was best to kind of cue him and see where it goes, and see where it goes with the player, really. Georgie was, the goalie market is it's kind of all over the place. I think for us, it kind of came down to, trying to figure out, still not having after a couple of years, not having a clear picture if he was ready to be the full-time number three with the Barracuda. We got Matt Davis here. Gabe Carrier did a great job for us last year. So, I think that's And to be fair to him and give him an opportunity to see what else is out there. And that's kind of what we made on the decision. We got to see if we can find a number, like a full-time number three type.
Awesome. Thanks. Hopefully you get Jumbo to sign that paper soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Shang.
Mike, just to clarify, is the plan to still add a number three to the Barracuda? That may not be carrier.
I think yeah. I think we're gonna look to probably add a little bit more experienced number three down there, and that also kind of went into a little bit of the decision with Georgie.
And I also want to ask you one question about Kovalenko. And I understand that he may not be a fit for the Sharks, but I wonder about just keeping him, just qualifying him and keeping him as an asset because he is a talented player.
Well, we thought about it. We had a good discussion about it, but at the end of the day, we just thought it'd be best to move on if, 'cause it wasn't a great fit for our room. So, you could go down that path that you're talking about, but then there's also a chance that if he's an asset and you can't move him, then, come September or October, if he doesn't fit your room, that's not a player you're gonna want your room. So that's not gonna change between now and September if we weren't able to move him.
And also wondering in terms of what you guys might be focused on. I know that you weren't being very specific, but I just wanted in terms of the defense specifically though, that like is there any kind of just what does the defense need, I guess, from now to October?
I think we gotta we'll still look around on the back end, and someone who can, we probably need to still maybe add someone who can defend or at the very least help us get pucks out of our end. So I think that would be the focus on the back end, just to be able to defend a little bit and help us get the puck up to our forwards and get us out of our end as quick as we can.
And last one for me, and thanks for doing this. What was Mark Edwards' reaction when you told him? Is this something that I don't know if he kind of might have alluded to it with him, when he was exit, during exit interviews or whatever, or is it something that more you guys decided more recently and you told him recently? But just anyway, just what was his reaction to the news?
We handled it very well, very professional. I think he understood where we are at as an organization and the decisions that we have to make, as far as roster construction and things like that. So he handled it really well, very professional, and it's not something I'm surprised by. He's a class act, and one of the best players ever here, and has always done things the right way. So I'm not surprised he handled it as well as he did.
Do you have a sense if he is plans to continue his playing career?
I think he would like to, yeah. And we wish him the best. Hopefully he can find a spot and keep plugging away.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. That's it with Mike. And if we have any other news to announce, we will keep you posted. Thanks, all.
Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network for continued free agent coverage, as well as dev camp coverage, culminating in the prospect scrimmage on the 3rd. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.